بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 7th of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 66th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that he's been appointed the governor of Egypt. To help Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, had also appointed Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abdul Sarh rahmatullah alayh, the foster brother of Sayyidina Uthman, as the governor of Upper Egypt. So even though Amr was the governor, he helped him by appointing another noble soul, and he was the foster brother of Sayyidina Uthman as the governor of Upper Egypt. So what do we know about it? Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayh in his Sir 1-33, he mentioned Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abdul Sarh rahmatullah alayh had accompanied Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu since the days of the conquests in Palestine when he was one of the commanders, and also then participated wholeheartedly with him in the conquest of Egypt. So Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abdul Sarh, he was literally with Amr all the way. When he went to Palestine, he was with him, and now in the Egyptian campaigns, and now he was appointed the second governor, i.e. of Upper Egypt. So now this man, he actually apostatized in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Shaitan got the better of him, and he was actually listed as one of the war criminals whose life was to be taken. He was listed as one of those whose lives was to be taken. So Abdullah ibn Sa'd, when Rasulullah came to take Makkah, he very intelligently hid and he went to his brother, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu, and he begged Uthman to ask the Prophet to take his shahada again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uthman radiyallahu anhu, when the time was appropriate, he brought him. And he goes, here's my brother, Ya Rasulullah, repentant. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned away from Abdullah ibn Sa'd. And Uthman said again, Ya Rasulullah, he's come repentant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And eventually the Prophet took his shahada again. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, wasn't there any intelligent person amongst you? So they goes, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? In other words, he goes, you should have executed him. So the companion said, you didn't give us a sign, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it ill befits a prophet to give a sign. So this is the Ruf report recorded in the Sunans, authentic hadith. But there's a very deep lesson we can take from this. The other war criminals, some of them were clinging to the curtains of the Kaaba. That didn't spare their life. They were executed. But why was Abdullah ibn Sa'd spared? Because he came to Rasulullah. So the scholars point out that look at the station or maqam of Rasulullah. He forgave him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why the Quran says in Surah Nisa, if only they had come to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have found their Lord forgiving and mercy. So when this man re-embraced Islam, he was as solid as they could be. He was making up for, obviously, how Shaitan had deceived him. But then he fought most bravely on the various battlefields, and eventually he became the governor of Upper Egypt. So that shows that Umar was greatly pleased with him now. So this shows that when the people, even if they apostatize, there's still hope for them. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he said by way of praise to the intelligence and leadership qualities of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, there is no other suitable position for Abu Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma other than the Amir walking upon the earth. Subhanallah. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir, Tira 70. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, it ill befits that he is just left. He goes, he is created to be an Amir. Allah Ta'ala has appointed him to be a leader. So who said that? Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, meaning Amr is certainly deserving to be a leader. And similarly, it is related. Shaykh Nawad Qutbuddin Khan Dahlawi Rahmatullah Ali in his Mazaid-e Ihaq, number 6245, or volume 5, page 775 of the English translation. Whenever Sayyidina Umar radiallahu came across a foolish rich man, he would say, Subhanallah, he who created him also created Amr ibn al-As. Subhanallah. So look how interesting. Umar would see the intelligent and also the foolish people. So when Umar radiallahu anhu saw a foolish rich man, so he's got wealth, but he's foolish. What would he say? He'd remember Amr. He goes, Subhanallah, the one who created this man and the one who created Amr. And what did he mean by that? What he meant by that was the intelligent rich man was Amr. So note, Umar had great love and affection for Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Thus, subhanAllah, the Islamic state had now expanded during the glorious reign of Umar radiallahu anhu, from the Jaihun River and Sindh in the east to the deserts of North Africa in the west, and from the mountains of Asia Minor and Armenia in the north to the Arabian Sea and Nubia in the south. So modern day geography, Islam has spread to Asia, Central Asia, Africa, and also touching upon the European lands. And this was during Umar al-Khalifa radiyallahu. It was a single international state, multi-faith, multi-racial, multicultural. There were Christians, there was Jews, all were under the banner of Islam. They retained their culture. His people lived under the justice and mercy of Islam, which protected their rights and guaranteed them a life of dignity despite their differences in their religion, culture and customs. How true as always were the following words of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ كَانَ نَبِيًّا بَعْدِي لَقَانَ عُمْرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. Had there been a prophet after me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have been Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3686, Hassan Ahmad in his Musnad 4-154, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-85, Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Tabarani in his Kabir 17-298, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid 9-68, Mishkat, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayh in his As-Sahiha, number 327, stated Hassan. So look at the wording, Lawqana. When a statement begins with low in Arabic, then this means that the following statement can never be untrue. So you miss this in the English. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ قَانَ النَّبِيًّا بَعْدِي لَقَانَ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. And all in English you get is, had there been a prophet. But the actual meaning is, there is absolutely no doubt. That's what the word low means. That had there been a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. So when you hear this report authentic, you're thinking, well, what about Abu Bakr? So there's two responses. Abu Bakr, there is a hadith mentioning the same for Abu Bakr, but that hadith has weakness in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. And secondly, Umar is one good deed of Abu Bakr. So it doesn't really matter, radiallahu anhu. And his khilafat was short. But Umar's khilafat, it was more appropriate for this divine statement. Why? Because Islam had spread all over the place. And even though he wasn't a prophet, people were testifying. Is he a prophet? He goes, no, but he lives like one. So moving on to the next section. the Amir al-Mu'mineen's invaluable instructions to the first governor of Egypt. So what's interesting? Who was the first governor of Palestine? Amr ibn al-As. Who was the first governor of Egypt? Amr ibn al-As. You know, so again, if you look at his credentials, you think, subhanAllah. As is known to one and all, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would keep a strict vigilance upon all his governors. Sayyidina Amr was no exception, radiallahu anhu. In Ibn Abi Dunya, Dinawri, Qanzul Umal, volume 4, page 406, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 327 of the New English Translation, it mentions, Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, he wrote to Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, the governor of Egypt, saying, treat those under your authority just as you would like a governor to treat you. Treat those under your authority just as you would like a governor to treat you. Look how beautiful and simple. He goes, what you would like a governor to do for you, you need to do that for your subjects. Meaning, always be there for them to help them whenever needed and fulfill their needs, showing mercy and benevolence, but also justice and discipline when and if required. In another report, in Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, Qanzul Umal, volume 3, page 148, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 486 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Abu Salih Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, he said, Umar ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, he once wrote to Umar radiallahu anhu saying, we have reserved a dwelling for you here next to the Jami Masjid. He goes, next to the central masjid, we've reserved a dwelling for you, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back to him, why should a man living in the Hijaz have a dwelling in Egypt? He then ordered that the area be converted into a marketplace for the Muslims. So look how interesting. He was doing out of love. He's thinking, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he comes, spot checks, and so we'll reserve a place. Where better? Next to the masjid, because that's the best place for him. So his intention was good. But Umar radiallahu anhu, you know the level. He goes, why would a man living in the Hijaz want a dwelling in Egypt? Now think about that. To the Muslims, this is a very strange statement now. Because we got houses everywhere. Because I live in the Hijaz. Why do I need a house in Egypt? And then he said, convert that as a marketplace for the Muslims. Now why did he make it a marketplace? Because in markets, people are distracted from Salat. If you got it next to the masjid, you got no excuse. So Umar goes, make it a marketplace. Meaning, bring them to the masjid, don't let them be distracted by business. The Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu was teaching those under him to shun putting themselves above others in matters of this lowly world. In another report, in Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, Qanzul al-Umal, volume 3, page 166, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 486 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Abu Tamim al-Jayshani radiallahu anhu, he said, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu once wrote the following letter to Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. The news has reached me that you have a pulpit made by which you climb high above the people's necks when delivering the sermon. Is it not sufficient for you to remain standing with the Muslims beneath your heels? I thus command you now in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you demolish the pulpit. So now think about this. Why is Amir al-Mu'mineen concerned about the pulpit of the governor of Egypt? Is that right down in the lower matter of, you know, considerations? But this is Umar. And somebody told, you know, he got a news that he's actually got a few steps. And now think about it. What's the wisdom of that? So people could see him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, isn't it enough for you that they're beneath your feet? Now, what did he mean by that? The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2-3 steps. He goes, what's this? He goes, demolish it. He goes, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now what do you notice? Umar radiallahu anhu, nothing was escaping him. If he saw anything, even if it was slightly, you know, untoward, he'd quote it. Why? Because he's the padlock to the fitna. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said this about him in Tabarani. In another report, in Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuhul Misr, Kanzul Umal, volume 8, page 63, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 325 to 6 of the New English Translation, Yazid Ibn Abu Habib, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Kharija Ibn Hudafa, radiyallahu anhu, was the first person to build a double-story building in Egypt. You know, bedroom, upstairs and downstairs. When he received news of this, Umar radiyallahu anhu wrote the following letter to Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. As-salamu alaykum. The news has reached me that Kharija ibn Hudafa radiyallahu anhu has built a double-story building. By doing this, Kharija radiyallahu anhu will advertently or inadvertently be spying upon his neighbors. You should therefore demolish the dwelling as soon as this letter reaches you. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. So now what's happening? So a companion, Kharija ibn Hudafa radiyallahu anhu. Now this is important. Kharija ibn Hudafa was one of the companions that was very instrumental in opening Egypt. He was a ferocious warrior radiyallahu anhu. So now think about that. We've all got houses upstairs and downstairs. In fact, we've got three floors, attic, converted to another, you know. So Umar radiallahu anhu, look what the report says. Kharija was the first Muslim to build a double-story building. So, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't write to Kharija. Look how interesting. You'd have thought, you know, directly to the person responsible. He goes, no, Amr's responsible. He's the governor. Why isn't he keeping in check? And he goes, the news has reached me, he's built a double-story building. He goes, now he's going to start spying on his neighbors. Demolish it. Assalamu alaikum. So now imagine, Amr's demolished his pulpit. He's gone to Kharij's house. He goes, look, nothing personal. Demolish it. So when the residents of Egypt were seeing this, what impact was it having? Because if these are the governors and the ones who brought our masters in this land, because we can expect justice for ourselves. So now, another report. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, Qanzul Umal, volume 8, page 63, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 326 of the New English Translation, Sayyida Talq, radiyallahu anha, she relates, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, he issued instruction to all his governors. Do not construct tall buildings, because your worst days will come when you construct tall buildings. So this is very interesting, authentic hadith. Only the governors. Do not construct tall buildings. Your governors, your worst days will come when you construct tall buildings. Alas, is it thus not common to now see in Muslim lands people ogling at their neighbors and beyond from the roofs of their dwellings? People even say that. They go, go onto your roof. Why? You got a panoramic view. You go, oh, that's mashallah. They don't mean panoramic view. You can see everything what's going on in everybody's houses. Why is something being allowed to take place which is allowing you to sin? Everything that makes you sin, the path to it becomes haram. So Muslim lands, you know, forget about non-Muslims. Forget about that. Shepherds are now competing to build skyscrapers. This is a sign of Qiyamah, the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hasn't the oil money produced these people? So note, everything's topsy-turvy now. The Prophet said, one of the signs of the hour is everything will be topsy-turvy. The right will become wrong. Now even that, now somebody goes, am I sinful for having a bedroom then? And the response is, you got other problems, brother. But this is part of our deen. And now you get other scenarios. You know, you got to mention it in brief. You got palaces with locks on. This just makes you laugh. I went by many years ago, and next door to us, it looked like a, I don't know, what do you call it? It looked like a palace. So I asked, and I don't want to mention who it was, and there's padlock on it. So the guy goes, oh, he hasn't been back for a while, he's just building. And I'm looking at this palace thinking, there's nobody even living in here. But then what happens? Eventually, when the palace is built, they get some shepherds who caretakers. So where does that fit into all this? Right? Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying, I'm living in the Hijaz, why do I need a dwelling in Egypt for? What would he have said to these fruitcakes? Right? So note again, you know, the commands have become strange. The Prophet said, Islam started as something strange. It will end as something strange. Glad tidings to the strangers. Sahih Muslim. There you go. All these things, don't they sound strange? Is this part of our deen? What do you think? Not Christianity. So now who is Kharija? So you think, okay, Kharija may have been a weak companion. There's no such thing as a weak companion. With regards to Kharija ibn Hudhafa, radiallahu, it is sufficient to relate. He was sent by Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu, as a reinforcement to Amr in Egypt. He was a renowned warrior, considered to be equal to 1,000 warriors. He was sent as a reinforcement, and he's one of those like superheroes, for want of a better word. You couldn't get him. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said something about him as well, rahmatullah alayh, and this is touching. In Al-Isaba, volume 1, page 399, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu, had asked Kharija ibn Hudhafa to lead the Salah on the night of Ali's fatal strike. Thus the Kharijite who was sent to assassinate Amr mistakenly assassinated Kharija ibn Hudhafa, radiyallahu. Look how tragic. I'm going to get to that, inshallah. Amr, you know what the Khawarij are doing, you know, imagine. They thought all of the problems of the Muslim world was due to the Sahaba. He goes, these are the three who need to be assassinated. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abu Talib, Amr ibn al-As, and Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan. Nothing's changed, right? Muslims aren't safe. Who was killed in place of Amr? Now look how the Qadr. Amr was ill that day. Kharija was appointed. Now you know who he is. He wasn't just some bozo to lead the prayer. Companion of the Prophet. That dog of hell struck him. Martyred him. Hence, Kharija ibn Hudhafa radiyallahu had left for his heavenly abode around the same time as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali. Meaning he was a great, great man who wants to live after Ali getting martyred, radiallahu. Maybe the news didn't even reach him. He was martyred in the month of Ramadan. It was Ramadan, the way now in. Hudhafa was martyred. Who? By the dog of hell. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this, this is very interesting. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 3000. Ibn Majah Ahmad and Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi said Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 3347. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ قَتْلَ مَنْ قَتَلُوهُ. The best person killed is the one killed by them, i.e. the accursed Khawarij. Subhanallah. خَيْرُ قَتْلَ مَنْ قَتَلُوهُ. The best person killed is the one killed by them, the accursed Khawarij. Now look how interesting. That's a Sahih hadith in Tirmidhi. Amr must have been gutted. You know, we're thinking about life, you know, so we think that was a close one. That's you, mate. You're not Sahaba. He must have thought, Ya Allah, you made me ill. If I had known, I would have dragged myself to lead the prayer. And this is the problem. People insert their own weaknesses. Amr had a lucky escape. Did he, brother? Did he have a lucky escape? You brought him down to your level. Right? He knows the hadith. He goes, what a beautiful way to have ended my life. By a dog of hell taking me to paradise on the day Ali is martyred, radiyallahu. But Allah Ta'ala, who did he write that for? You have to explain this. Somebody goes, well, who was it then? Who was given the honor? And say, Kharija ibn Hudhafa. Look at the guys. Just ask him, who's that then? And he goes, well, he was, you know, he was a, mashallah, he's very fortunate. Do you know anything about him? Well, you know, that's all we need to know, isn't it, brother? Right? Did you know he's Sahaba? He's Sahaba. Did you know he's worth 1,000 men? Did you know he was the first to build a double-story building? Right? And he goes, there you go, brother. You know, mashallah, innit? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Amen. So all I mentioned today was now Amr settles in as governor, radiyallahu anhu. And don't forget, he's helped with who? Abdullah ibn Sa'ad ibn Abdul Salah as the governor of Upper Egypt. And I mentioned a little bit about him. And then I mentioned that Umar radiyallahu anhu was keeping tabs on Amr. And he was making sure that he didn't swerve, even though he wasn't committing any sins in the actions he was taking. But it was a standard that Umar demanded from the governors. And then of course I mentioned Kharija ibn Hudhafa. And ultimately he was sent to Firdaus by a dog of hell. There is a reason I call them a dog of hell, because the Prophet called them the dog of hell. Kilabun Nar. In Ibn Majah Sahih, the Khawarij. And they're still amongst us. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الفضل